Lord, we do in Jesus' name stand in awe of you today. Your faithfulness, and your faithfulness. God, increase our faith in your faithfulness. Lord, thank you that you are the God that looks on the heart, not on the outward appearance. Lord, thank you that it is your work. Thank you, God, it is. Thank you that it is your grace. Thank you, Lord, that we can truly just lean upon you. Rest our weary head upon your breast. Lord, it is a wilderness. But as we rest upon you, you lead us out. We thank you for that assurance. A love completely unmerited. Favor never earned. All by the grace and mercy of the lover of our soul, our precious Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Praise be to God. Open your Bibles today, and I pray you got them. And if you don't, it's okay to scoot closer to somebody who might share with you. It's okay. We're talking the Word of God now. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. I love this, Jeremiah 1, 5. So marvelous. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Now, brothers and sisters, there really isn't anything more powerful ever spoken about the heart of God to us than this verse. He didn't just create us. But before he formed us, he knew us. Yes, he did. We're talking about the foreknowledge of our all-knowing God. And what is so sad is I don't think we know this enough. We could never believe it enough. There could never be enough thanks in our hearts enough. But brothers and sisters, today, by the grace of God, we are going to be encouraged in this precious, all-powerful promise to us. Because he's God. I thank the Lord, he's God. And I like it that he's God settles it. That he's the God that knows all things. He's the God, praise his name, that nothing is hidden from him. And here he assures us that he knew our hearts before he ever made us. Think of the intimacy of that, truly, that before he ever formed you, before he ever made you, he knew you. He knew your thoughts. He knew the hair on your head. He knew you before he formed you. And I think how incredible is the keeping of our God in that we sit here today and we think about this truth that before he formed us, he knew us. In Romans 8, here's what assurance we have. Verse 29. It says there, for whom he did foreknow. That's exactly what we've just read. Before he formed you, he knew you. That's the foreknowledge of God. That's whom he did foreknow. He's speaking about you. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. That word means the same. The same. To the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, sweethearts, I'll tell you this. This just didn't pop out here in Romans chapter 8. It just didn't come out all of a sudden. There's a perfect order to this. This is assured to us. We don't have all the time in the world today, but I'll tell you this. This came out right after the conclusion of the promises of Romans chapter 8. He's telling us this, that he foreknew us, and then he predestinated us for what he just told us from Romans 8:1 to Romans 8:28. You know what he tells you there in Romans 8:1 to 8:28? He tells us there that we can be and should be joint heirs with Jesus Christ as a husband and wife. He tells us there, but by the grace of God, that he wants us to be glorified together with him. He tells us there of the promise of Romans 8, that there is coming a time that the mature sons of God, in the Greek they're called the huios sons, H-U-I-O-S, the mature sons, not babies, but mature sons, the ones that know their birthright. That we're waiting. All creation is groaning. All creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, I want you to think about that once again. We have been given all of these exceeding great and precious promises. All of those things that the Lord has laid out to us through the Apostle Paul. Us, whom he foreknew, he did predestinate. This wasn't just, brothers and sisters, I really want you to take this in context. This wasn't just as being a child of God. He addresses that earlier on in Romans 8:17. He said, as children of God, God the Father, by the blood of Jesus, you're an heir of God. But it jumps right after that, doesn't it? It's after more. He's showing us that we live in a time, this church age, with the power of his might, that beautiful Holy Ghost that can take all the things of Christ and show them unto you. All of them. What's mine is yours, just like with Esther. That he goes right beyond that wondrous security of salvation and now is laying out the plan of God that was in ages past, that his son would have a wife. He tells us the things immediately thereupon. Honeys, I foreknew your heart. I foreknew your heart. See, he didn't predestinate you first. He foreknew. See, God's all-knowing. He does know who believes and who doesn't. He just knows that because he's God. He didn't force. He said, I would that all men be saved. He said that I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. So this wasn't he chose some and didn't choose some. He's God, and let me tell you something about God. He's not just sufficient, he's efficient. And that's where people tell you and say, well, you know, they were born over here or born over there or whatever. They never got to hear the word. Oh, yes, they did. Isn't it amazing? It doesn't matter where it is. The word of God says out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. And they come out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Because the word of God says, he that wills to know will know of the Lord. They'll know the will of God. He wants nothing more than to reveal his truth to people, doesn't he? Amen? Amen, he does. But I'll tell you what, our all-knowing God, who foreknew us, put us in a meeting here by the grace of God, that is that predestination he's talking about of Romans 8. Of Romans 8. Of joint heirs together with Jesus Christ, whom he foreknew, he did predestinate for us to be glorified together with him. That's what he saw fit for us to have. Now I understand not that I've apprehended. I don't just sit there and say, well, that's just a done deal. No, but I know by the grace of God, praise the Lord, it's all there and is a finished deal for me. Amen. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. If I'm going to be dependent upon this man, I'll tell you one thing. I will miss the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I need to be confident in the grace of God. I need to be absolute assured in the mercy of the Lord who has brought this precious truth. Oh, and by the way, in Romans chapter 9:23, he says, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on his vessels of mercy, which he has prepared afore unto glory. Did you hear that? That he might make known the riches of his glory on his vessels of mercy, which he prepared when? Afore. Before he ever set a star in heaven. Unto what? Glory.
Is it any wonder why the Apostle Paul says, hey, look, I've got the message of the exceeding riches of his glory. God made known to me, the Apostle Paul, which was hidden from the prophets of men, from the sons of the prophets, from the prophets of men. They wanted to look into it. They wanted to look into it. But it wasn't for them. It says in the Word of God, they wrote those things for us. And here by the grace of God, so we know that we've been prepared for this. We know that the Lord has seen fit because he saw our hearts in ages past in Christ to give us this. And in Philippians 1:6, I'll tell you what. Being confident of this very thing. And you know what? You need to be confident of this very thing because of the word of his grace. Get your head up. Get your arms up. Thank him. Thank the Lord for this. This is rejoicing time. This isn't something to walk around. They are. This world is walking around like zombies. I finally seen them. And that's exactly what it is. Walking dead. It's time not to be on. Honey, let me tell you something. You have the blood of Jesus. You're quickened with him. Come on now. You have that life. But I'll tell you what, you can be alive. I mean, alive in this. But we're confident of this very thing, this very one thing. What are we confident about? That he which hath begun a good work. Where? In you. In you. Who began it? Did you earn it? Did you find it? Did you say, hey, look at what I've discovered? No, it's all him. He found you. He called you. He chose you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because he foreknew your heart. Thank him. My goodness. Thank him. Do you realize how many people don't know him? Do you realize how many people do not have that heart that says, that's my Jesus. Thank him. I'm telling you, thank him. Praise his name. And he said, be confident in this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you, what? Will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that marvelous? I don't read in there, I'm doing one thing, except thanking him for what he's brought, what he's done, what he's called, and what he's performing. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. And all that is required. All that's required is faith. Faith. And then think of that. Think of the faith that he's given you. Think of the life that he gave you. I mean, he set you up not for failure, but for assurance of this to be finished in your life. You live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the faith that you live in. Hallelujah. I don't live by the faith of Jesse. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me and he lives in me. He lives in me. I'm confident in that life. I thank the Lord. I am now a son of God. Hallelujah. I need to quit being confident in me because that will always fail. It'll always lead to a dead end. Oh, the perfection of grace. He didn't make us and then create things for us on the fly. He didn't do that. He could, but he didn't. We're too amazing to him. Hey, don't ask me why. He's God. But he knew us first. See, this is the intimacy of the knowledge of God. How intimate he is with us. And I do, I have to say, I shake my head. How do you love me? Oh, let me count the ways. Why do you love me? Be quiet. Try to explain love when you love somebody, huh? How much more God? He made that. You understand that? You can't explain love. You don't understand. It just happens. He's the God that just said, I've got to have that one. And here's the one. The human race. He loved us. He loved us so. He gave us his son. He created what he loved. You think you got something to talk to God about forever? Hallelujah. But the intimacy of God, because it's his knowledge, You think about the perfection of the love knowledge of God. This love and grace that foreknew us. And those were the thoughts for his bride. Since ages past, he's been thinking about you for a long, long time. That you are for the good pleasure of his will. See, isn't that something? He don't want to just save you to come up and stand before him and worship him. He's given us the message, honeys, and his love, the depth of his heart. He wants you to believe him in this fullness, to not stand before him, but to stand with him. To take that throne with him. To rule and reign together with him. To share his very glory. That's why he calls her a bride. I thank the Lord for marriages under the hand of God. They prefer one another. When one's esteemed, they esteem together. Amen. Jesus said it so sweetly, even as he was beginning to bring forth this message. Think about the disciples. They knew he was the Christ. They wanted to do anything that they could for him. And he said, oh, honeys, I don't call you servants. I call you friends. Don't you get this? I love you. Peter, I don't want you to keep telling me how great you are and how you're going to do great things for me and all this. See this sweet one, John? He's not saying a word, son. He's just laying his head on my breast. He created us exactly. Listen to this, everybody. He created you exactly with every specific trait of your being. He created you exactly with that personality that you want to get rid of. He created you exactly with the health that you wish was better. He created you with all of those infirmities you wish you never had. He knew us exactly. He knew us exactly as what was needed for us, not only to know him, but to win him. We're talking a whole different level today, honeys. I want you to see that he truly foreknew your heart to win him. I want you to really see that he foreknew your heart to predestinate everything. You've got a path of perfection. It's the perfection of a Rahab. It's the perfection of a Bathsheba. It just is. I'm just going to tell you, that's the path. It's not the path of the Pharisee. That never works. Matter of fact, it's filthy rags to him. He knew us exactly as to create for us every before ordained good work that we should walk therein. Brothers and sisters, they're steps of grace. They're just grace upon grace. And see, in knowing us, he made us to need him for everything. Isn't that beautiful? I think he's even showing us through this precious trial we're having in this world right now. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You just don't. But you don't be fearful about tomorrow. I'm looking for him to come today. He told me I'll never be begging bread. He told me that. He assured me. He told me to look to him for everything. He told me not to put my confidence in uncertain riches. He did. He's my riches. And in that truth, I'll tell you what. I don't want to change anything about me. I know you do. You say, man, you're sure not perfect. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm ahead of you on that one. I am certainly not perfect. But see, what matters to me is I am perfect for Jesus. And I don't just say that lightly. I say that with such thanksgiving to God because of knowing this message of grace and mercy. I am so thankful I am made perfect for him. There's a verse that says that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. I pray you really know the height of that. That he wonderfully and fearfully made you exactly as you are for him. For him. Paul finally got it. All those years that he tried and struggled. What a sweet man. He would even get to the point where the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. And then finally he began to just praise the Lord and rejoice and lift his hands to God. And he said, oh my, I've been praying for you to take this thorn out of my life. I'd be a better Christian. I'd be a better Christian. I'd have a better testimony. I'd be able to lead more people to the Lord. And I sought you three times to take it away from me. And oh Lord, you've come and you've told me, oh son, if I take that away from you, you're going to be exalted and not me. That precious grace that you've been nestled up to right now, and that moaning that you've had on your knees to say, Lord, take this from me. I need this to change. Paul, that's been the greatest times of our life together. And it ain't going to end, son. I'm not going to take that thorn. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you about that thorn. I had him ready a long time ago. And you know what it says in the Word of God, that thorn, and that it was? It was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, to give him a punch. That's what that means. You mean God, our precious Savior, he would send a messenger of Satan? You think that old dumb devil wasn't made for something? He's made for you. Everything was made for him and by him. There's a purpose in it. Do you understand this? I pray you really do. This is how much God is for us. He said, I've appointed all them wicked, you know, that want to be wicked. I've appointed them to the day of evil. He showed us that with Pharaoh, didn't he? Old Pharaoh thought he was getting things done and going to do. Oh, I hardened his heart. I knew. See, he foreknew he'd be evil. He did. He foreknew he wouldn't accept him. You want to be that kind of a, you'll be a tool. Be a tool of the devil, but at the end, I'll tell you what, God's going to use that. Amen. God's going to use all that evil, and you know what's going to happen someday? It's called, his son is going to be magnified. Every knee going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess that he's Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, here we go. We'll wrap this up. Brothers and sisters, the truth that we're wonderfully and fearfully made for him, I don't want to change a thing about me. I'm perfect for his grace. I'm perfect for his mercy. I'm perfect for his strength. I'm made perfect to only exist by faith. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, you try to exist without faith, Christian. It don't work, does it? Oh, I'm so miserable, Pastor. I heard this yesterday from a fellow, and I don't mean, I tell you, I guess I'm getting like Brother Hill. We don't have time. You can go tell your same story to 50 people if you want. It ain't going to change. That word will change you. You keep wrestling with the truth, and it's always going to be a problem. You begin to yield to God, you'll see that problem be a crown for you. And it really will. I promise you. I thank God that he'll show you these things. See, I'm only made perfect by, hallelujah, complete with this word in my life and being strong in my life. I think about Psalms chapter 37, 23. I love this. This is a good message. I'm glad he brought it to us. Psalm 37 and verse, what is that, 23? We all like this one. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Oh, man, we're all, man, that's just so encouraging to my heart. I just think that's the greatest thing. Let's read verse 24. It says, though he fall, I think that even got better. He shall not be utterly cast down. We're talking about the good man that his steps are ordered of the Lord and he delights in his way. Though he fall, that good man, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. It didn't go back and say, well, the Lord's remembering all those good works, you know, that he, that good man, all those steps that he took. It wasn't that at all. It was God's faithfulness that was withholding him all the time, wasn't it? Praise be to God. I know people read that first verse and they say, well, wait a second here. I thought a good man can't fall. Well, let me tell you something. Good men always fall. They always do. Because you know what a good man knows? He knows grace and he knows mercy. That's a good man. Praise God. That's God's man. And he knows that he needs God for any goodness he's going to have. And when he does fall, when you do fall. Amen. When you do fall, you will not be utterly cast down. Praise be to God. Because the Lord thy God upholdeth you with his hand. Hallelujah. Now, how could I ever learn if I were perfect? I'll let you visit with some of those. They come see me sometimes. They won't learn because they're perfect. How could I ever learn if I didn't fail? How could I ever know his grace and mercy if I didn't fall? Huh? Brothers, our Lord God, he's told us this today. He directs our steps. Amen? I believe the word of God says he is the way. He is the way. It is all him. We want to put way too much on us and our choices. I heard that again lately from one of my brothers, and I understand. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to have perfect understanding this. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is all here for us. The good works that we should walk therein, he's already made them for us. You know that? And then those good works that we should walk therein, do you know that they're sealed in Romans 8:28? Isn't that beautiful? And we know all things work together. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And I know what his purpose is, whom he foreknew. Man, golly, do you realize how he loves you? See, you can get all twisted up on, well, them that are called according to his purpose. Amen, you are, honey. Amen, you are. Whom he foreknew. Now let's wrap it up. I don't make choices no more. Isaiah 30:21. I began to hear something a long time back. And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee. And I've heard a word behind me in places that people would say, oh, there's no way, no word there. David said, even though I make my bed in hell, he's there with me. I'm about ready to explode because of the grace of God. Thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. It's all by grace, isn't it? It's all by him, isn't it? It's all by that truth, the one who is faithful and true for you and for me. And because of his love and faithfulness, I believe we'll just, as brother said, just sit back in that rocking chair of grace. His word, praise God, his word will change me. The word will change me. The word will lead me. Not my choices. My choices, I found out and I'll testify to you. Not a one of them have ever been good. They will get me nowhere very quickly. And I'm believing more and more all the time. I'm reliant upon only his hands. That mold this precious little lump of mercy with all of the anointing of his grace. And I believe him today that by his grace we will stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Such thanksgiving today, a rejoicing always. Lord, thank you for your truth and love. Thank you for this plan of mercy and grace. Lord, thank you that you give us these eyes, enlightened eyes of understanding to see it. And Lord, it's there for your, for everyone, but especially the family of God. Help us to cease from our own works and enter into the rest of God. Help us to really understand that it's you that causes us to will and do of your good pleasure. And you are the Word. And your Word is truth and love. And we thank you for it this day. It's a good day. Always a good day. And oh, what a day it is to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen.